living from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we all get more. We are powerful women.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Authenticity Summit. I'm Sue Erta, your host for this event, and I am so grateful that you are here listening to these interviews by these amazing women who are the authors of the book, The Beauty of Authenticity. They are they're so cool. They're so neat. I love these women. They're just ordinary people like you and me, except that they live their lives in an extraordinary way, and they are sharing their message and their lessons and what they have experienced, you know, their stories for you, so that you can have more ease and peace and grace on your own journey of authenticity. And today, I'm very happy to talk with Andrea Fessler, one of our co-authors of this book, and I like her very much, and I know that her topic today is something that you're interested in, and that's why you're here. It's the future of medicine, an integrative approach to living and dying. And this is a topic that really interests me. So I will read an introduction of Andrea, and then we'll get started talking with her. Andrea Fessler is a registered nurse, medical intuitive, and theta healing master instructor and practitioner. She has worked in oncology, bone marrow transplant, and hospice for 18 years. After discovering her intuitive abilities, she became certified in multiple energy healing modalities, trained as an end-of-life doula through the International End-of-Life Doula Association, called INELDA, and is an active member of Toastmasters International. Andrea lives in Colorado Springs, where she has an energy healing, teaching, and end-of-life doula practice. She also works once a week as an oncology nurse. Her passion lies in bridging the gap between the medical and holistic worlds to mainstream alternative healing. And Andrea, I'm so excited to talk with you today. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, Sue. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here with you as well.
Terrific. Well, you know, let's talk about, I mentioned it in your bio, but let's talk about your early background in nursing and Western medicine. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sue, I always wanted to be a nurse. It was something that was just a calling from the very beginning of my life. And I directly went into hospice when I was 17 years old as a certified nurse's assistant. I really loved that position because I got to see how much I love taking care of people and the joy that it brought me to see people getting comfort in some of the most difficult times. The other thing that happened when I worked early on in hospice is that I was opened up to the fact that there's so much more to this world than we could really understand. Just bearing witness to people's transitions showed me that there's a really deeply spiritual aspect to life and to healing that I didn't understand early on. When I became a nurse, I really wanted to understand the fight, if you will, or the battle or the challenges that people face before they end up in hospice care. So as a nurse, I went directly into oncology so I could understand the journey that it takes sometimes for people to get to the end of their lives.
Wow. You know, that's so amazing that you started at such a young age with hospice. All of the people actually that I know that are in work with people in hospice situations are much older, you know, like 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. So that's why at 17 years old were you drawn to that?
My grandmother actually had a big role to play in that. She died with home hospice at home. And I was holding her hand when she died when I was 13 years old. So the way that our hospice nurse showed up for us and taught us about how to take care of her, and she showed us that death wasn't something to be afraid of, but rather a beautiful experience to be a part of. And, you know, in that moment where my grandmother actually died, I saw this peace wash over her body, something that I had never experienced before, and I felt her soul release. And to me, obviously, it was sad and difficult, but it was one of the most beautiful moments of my life, and I knew that I was being called to bring that same healing and comfort to people in their lives.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I appreciate you sharing that. Okay, so you started out with the hospice. You were a nurse with oncology. So what led you to branch out of your traditional nursing role?
Honestly, it was a combination of divine intervention, my own discomfort and just the curiosity that I've always had for life. I was at a point in my life where I was just pretty sick and miserable, and I had done a really good job of creating a lot of difficult situations, a lot of chaos in my life, and I didn't really understand why it was happening or how. It seemed like no matter what I tried, chaos just kind of followed me in my life. And on one hand in my life, I kind of had everything together, you know, like I was an oncology nurse, I did a charge nurse role, I had these, on the outside it looked like things were going well for me, but on the inside my life was a mess. I had a failed relationship and lots of addiction and just illness in my life. The last straw for me that led me to branch out was that I had a stalker, and I got a restraining order and went through that whole process. And during that process, I was just terrified for my life. And I knew if something didn't drastically change that I wasn't going to be on this planet anymore. So I had a friend who suggested that I try travel nursing, and my curiosity said, yeah, why not? So I spent about 5 years traveling around the country doing nursing assignments, 3 to 6 months here and there. And that led me to San Diego, where I ended up having an intuitive awakening.
Wow, that sounds so cool. I'd love to hear a little bit about that. And I'm guessing you're going to tell us about that. Are you going to tell us about that as we move forward, or shall I ask you now?
Oh, no, absolutely. We can talk about it now.
Okay, great. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Right. So when I got to San Diego, I was working with, I was in a role as radiation oncology nurse case manager. And the girl who sat next to me at my desk, she said, you know, there's this really cool lady and she does this really cool thing and you should go check it out. And I had never heard of energy healing or intuition or anything like that. So I just out of curiosity, I decided to go have a visit, like meet up with this healer. And initially I just went to go talk to my grandmother because she was a medium as well. So during our first session, my grandmother came through and I saw that, oh my gosh, this stuff is legitimate. Like, this is real. And she offered in her services energy healing. So I booked another session to go back with her because I'd never even experienced that. So a week passed and I went back for my energy healing session. And during that, I had my eyes closed. I was leaning back in a chair. And as she was saying these words, I felt this energy moving through my body and this incredible pain released from my heart. And I was seeing colors with my eyes closed, like rainbow lights, and I had no idea what happened to me. And my left brain honestly kind of freaked out because I had been so indoctrinated in Western medicine. Even though I knew there was something out there, I didn't know how powerful it could be. So that really led me to dive deep into the world of alternative healing, and I started taking as many classes as I possibly could to understand the gifts that were showing up in my life. I was led first to take quantum touch, which is an energy healing modality where you pull in life force energy from around you and you amp it up in your body and then offer it to your client. And then after that, I was led to take theta healing. And once I started theta healing, I just went down the rabbit hole with that, and I've become a theta healing master practitioner and instructor at this point. And I always plan to continue to grow because every level I reach, I realize that there's so much more to know. It's never over. And I think that's the coolest thing about life, and especially about the world of energy healing, is that it's an untapped, limitless potential, and we can just keep learning and growing.
Wow. So how do you integrate your healing work with your nursing role?
I literally integrate it every second that I'm in the hospital. And the number one way that I integrate it is that I just live true to my authentic self. I don't hide the fact that I'm an energy healer or that I'm into the woo, if you will. And I talk about it openly and honestly when it's appropriate. My patients I always ask God to bring me the patients and colleagues who are open to hear what I have to say and who are ready, willing, able to heal, and who do heal. And I find that God answers my prayers, right? Because you put that out to the universe and you get exactly what you ask for. So I tend to get patients who are open to it, and then I'm able to talk about it, and I'm able to be like, oh, you got a pain in your back? Is it okay if I work on it? So I'll actually, with permission, do some energy healing on patients when it's appropriate. But I've noticed a huge shift in the culture and the openness at my hospital and on my floor since I've been there. I've been there for about a year and a half now, and when I first got there, people would look at me like I was crazy when I would talk about this stuff. And then as time has passed and people have become more open to it and they saw that, you know, I am smart and I'm a good nurse and I show up and I'm reliable and I do this other stuff, they've become more open and have allowed me to work on them and share more with them. And it's shifted so much that now my colleagues will come up and ask me, hey, I have a headache. Can you do that thing?
I love it. That's so cool because, you know, there are people that are kind of like, oh, I don't know if it works, but hey, my head hurts bad enough that I'm going to try, right?
Right. Sometimes you have to be desperate enough to heal.
That's true. That is so true. I love that you're able to do that there. And I believe it's becoming more mainstream, you know, the alternative, which I think is more natural. I like that word better, but you know, it's becoming more mainstream and it is becoming more accepted. And as people are, you know, seeing it more and hearing about it more, with you sharing it, that's how more people will know about it. So I love that you're out there doing that. Now, Andrea, I know that you do work with people, you know, healing people who are going to be here for a long time and also with people who are dying. So how has your passion for working with the dying helped you with clients who do not have a terminal illness now?
That's a great question. I found that working with people who are dying actually parallels people who are going through the healing process. And it's more just at a different level of intensity. With dying, you know, it's working with dying is sad, it's uncomfortable, it's intense and really difficult sometimes. But it's also beautiful, incredibly rewarding, and it's sacred. And that's exactly what it's like when I take a client who's going to be living through the healing process. The main difference is that people who show up before they're dying, before they're forced to face their stuff, get to reap the benefits of living life after they've healed it. So, you know, when people are dying, they don't really have a choice anymore. It's healing their unfinished business. And dying is this emotional and spiritual process, more than a physical process, where they're releasing from their bodies. And I found in my experience that people who have a lot of emotional trauma tend to have more difficult time releasing from their bodies. So even looking on the living end, like the more we heal and face our wounds and our trauma before we get to that point of death, the easier we release from our bodies. So the number one thing that I've learned from the dying that helps me is don't wait. Like, why wait until you're not going to be able to be around to heal a relationship or clear a resentment or let go of a grudge? And it's not as hard as you think. So people, once they face and apologize to someone, and I've seen this on people's deathbeds many times, like making amends, they get over it, they do it, they get through it, and they say, like, wow, that was a lot easier. I wish I'd done it sooner. So I just always encourage people to, you know, if something's making you uncomfortable, that's what you really want to dive into. That's where you want to lean into that discomfort, and that's where you want to heal so that you can live a meaningful life.
You know, I love that. And I think that what you're talking about, though, you're talking about emotional healing. I see that. But it also, I think it's true that when we heal our emotions, we also can heal our body. Has that been your experience as well?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that all physical pain is a manifestation of an emotional issue. And even in the oncology world, so you'll see sometimes people, for example, get a breast cancer, and then they go through chemo and radiation, and it goes away, and then it comes back as something else. And to me, it's because you never treated the original emotional cause of the physical issue out in the energetic or auric field. So it just looks for the next weakest place to come back in. So you'll keep recreating these physical patterns in your body unless you heal it on the emotional and spiritual levels.
So that's so interesting. So as a healer, doing the type of healing that you do, the theta healing, the quantum touch, all of that, so even what if you're working on someone's physical body, would you say you're also working on their emotional body because that's where it comes from anyway?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we are so multidimensional. We're so multidimensional, we can't even fathom what that is. So when I'm working with the client, I intend to work on their emotional body and any other part of their energy, seen or unseen, known or unknown, that needs to be healed for them to heal.
So you just answered what I was thinking of as the next question was going to be, does the person that's being healed have to know what the trauma or where the emotional wound is?
Not always. I think sometimes I'll be led to get them to talk about a situation or have it come up. But I think that the universe, I think that creator knows what needs to be healed and can shift the energy instantly. But there are circumstances and incidences where people need to have a little bit of conscious awareness, because sometimes that conscious awareness will give the subconscious mind permission to make a change.
Okay, great. That makes perfect sense. Okay, so now, Andrea, I know that you believe that connecting alternative and Western medicine is key. Can you elaborate on why you believe this goes hand in hand?
Absolutely. I believe that we have to come together for healing. We're at a place in our evolution where we can't continue to be stuck on one side of the fence or another. And being in both of the worlds, I've seen people in Western medicine look at alternative or natural integrative ways of healing and think, even say things like, you know, that doesn't work. Why would you do that? There's no science behind that. And then alternatively, I've seen people who are in the healing community completely disregard Western medicine and say that you shouldn't do anything in Western medicine. And I think both of those viewpoints are incorrect. We need to come together and see the points where we have commonality, where we can heal together. Because there is a place for Western medicine. If I get in a car accident, you better believe I want to be able to go to the emergency room. And Western medicine is really good at treating trauma, like instant kind of traumas, but they're not good at treating chronic illness. And more I'm seeing physicians open up to the idea of, you know, mind isn't separate from body, and we need to bring these healing parts, like modalities, together. I'm seeing in my own community also, like, different integrative healing facilities popping up. So facilities where you can go have chiropractic and acupuncture and massage and energy healing, and you can get your lab work done. And I'm seeing these in my community of Colorado Springs, which honestly I never thought I would ever see that. So that's really cool. And at my hospital where I'm working at, I'm actually on a committee called the Alternative Pain Committee, and we're looking at different ways to manage pain than through medications. And it's really exciting because Western medicine, you'll hear them just in the meeting sometimes, they'll talk about different kinds of medicines other than opioids, because this all has come about as a result of the opioid epidemic. We have to move away from using opioids, and Western medicine is kind of stumped, which I think is a beautiful gift and an opportunity for us to get in and show them, oh my gosh, pain isn't really physical, and we can do all of this emotional healing to help this. It's really exciting.
Well, it sounds exciting. I'm so happy about that. You know, I haven't been to any Western medicine doctors in quite some time for myself, because I just, you know, I've found that so much of the natural healing can come from me and from, you know, what Mother Nature provides and universe provides, and I love all of that. And like you said, we need them both, and I think it's really important. And I'm so happy to hear your experience that it is evolving and it is being more integrated. So that's awesome. I'm so happy about that. And I'm happy that you're a part of it too, Andrea, because it sounds like, you know, you've been doing this since you're 17. My gosh, for all these years, you've been open to this and aware of it. And so I love the part you're playing. So thank you for doing that. Also, you know, Andrea, I know that you have a gift for our listeners. This information is great. I know that they're going to want more of you. So can you please share your gift and also how they can reach out to you if they want to be more in touch with you?
Yes, I'm offering a recorded energy healing that incorporates theta healing. It's great for a daily meditation to clear and balance your energy, and the listeners can use it every day. To get access to the healing, they just need to email me at info@energywithandrea.com. So that's I-N-F-O at energywithandrea, spelled A-N-D-R-E-A.com. And just mention the authenticity book or the summit, and I'll email them back the recording.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And so, Andrea, I just want to ask one more final question for you. If there's somebody on the call that maybe is looking for some sort of healing with their either their emotional body or their physical body, what would you offer to them as a first step in order to open up and really be able to truly heal themselves?
And the first step, I think, if you're already seeking healing, that kind of is the first step, which is amazing, because then you're going to reach out and find the practitioner you need. So in working with me, the first step I do is I tend to attract people who are healers, already healers or teachers. So my general first step is that I heal the deep subconscious blocks that cause healers to create crazy lives, because I found that like healers tend to make really interesting situations out of their lives because their souls are so unique.
Wow. That's great. I love that. Yes, we attract that which we need. So I love that. Thank you so much, Andrea, for doing what you're doing. I so appreciate not only the work that you're doing, but also you being a part of this project, you sharing your own unique story in the book, The Beauty of Authenticity. And I love all of the beautiful energy that you share, because in you sharing that, it helps to raise the vibration of people and the planet. And that's actually what we're here to do. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sue. It's incredible to be a part of this. And you know, it's a team effort. We're all doing it together, and that's what makes it even more fun.
It does. I agree with you. Very collaborative. And all these other authors are awesome, too. I so appreciate you. And listeners, thank you. Thank you for being a part of this summit, too. You giving yourself these gifts of listening to these women and bringing some of these practices and some of this guidance into your life is really helping you to show up more authentically as the you that you were born here to be on this planet. So thank you for doing that. Be sure to continue to listen to the summit, read that free ebook of tips that we sent to you on how to live authentically every day, and be sure to buy the book on launch day, which is May 22nd. You can buy The Beauty of Authenticity on Amazon, and when you bring your receipt number back to our website, you'll be able to get many free gifts from our partners and authors that are really great, and they're going to help you to kind of up-level your life personally, spiritually, emotionally. So thank you so much for being a part of this. I wish you all a beautiful, wonderful day. Bye for now.
Living from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we are.